may be too soon to tell, but 2014 might go down as a breakout year for women entrepreneurs, according to our guest this hour. Good morning, I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 6:07 on Thursday, January 23rd. Today we're looking at 11 reasons why this year might be the best year for women in business or those who wish to start their own. You can join the conversation this hour. Are you a female executive? Are you hoping to start your own business in the near future? Or are you just getting started and need some help shaping your ideas, forming next steps? You can let us know at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. My guest this hour is Jerry Stengel, president of Stengel Solutions and Ventureneer. She's also the author of a recent article in Forbes, 11 Reasons Why 2014 Will Be a Breakout Year for Women Entrepreneurs. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Hi, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for being with us. Why do you think 2014 is going to be a special year for women in business?
Well, I think we're finally moving the dial where women are achieving large businesses. So, we now have multi-million dollar businesses, $10 million businesses plus, and we're growing at a faster rate than all businesses in general. We are getting angel and venture capital investments, and we're getting them at a faster rate than we've been getting them in the past. So we're getting 20% of all angel investments, and we moved the dial 40% from 2011 to 2012. Venture capital, which has been a real sore spot for women-led businesses, we're finally moving the dial there. We increased about 20% from 2012 to 2013. And we're also number one in entrepreneurship. So Dell commissioned global research in 17 countries and found out that women are number one in the world, in the United States, in terms of entrepreneurship. And we still face barriers, of course, and I'm actually going to be working with Dell on fleshing out how women are overcoming those barriers.
What is accounting for some of these changes, this progress that you just spelled out for us?
I think that there's an enormous ecosystem that's been built. We have the support of men, but let me take a step back and talk about the ecosystem for a moment. At every level, whether you're starting up or you're a high-growth company, there are organizations out there to support you. So, you know, you've got the SBA, you've got the SBA has women business centers and SCORE, which provides mentoring and training to support you if you're starting a small business. If you are starting a high-growth business in technology or biotech, you've got organizations like Springboard and Astia, which do training to help you find access money.
Okay. Now, you outlined 11 reasons why 2014 might be a breakout year for women in business, starting with, number one, women have the right stuff. Can you define the right stuff?
Well, women have the leadership skills that you need to run businesses. And what's interesting about this is there's a couple of different research surveys that were done actually not by women, but by men that talk about the fact that women do have the right stuff. So 12 out of 16 leadership skills, women outperform men. And that includes things like taking initiative and driving results, which had previously been thought of as male skills. Women also have 21st century skills like collaboration, communication, and sharing.
Now, as I hear this, though, is that to say that men don't, or is it to something that women have somehow honed more creatively, I guess, throughout their life leading up to their place as a business owner?
So men absolutely have these skills. It's just that research is showing that women are outscoring men in certain categories. And some of them are just natural skills, but I also think that women do self-development more than men. So if you you know, tell a woman that she needs to improve or she knows that she needs to improve in a certain area, she's going to go out there and get the skill set that she needs.
Why is that? Why are women more likely to strive towards self-improvement that way?
Well, that's a really interesting question. I'm not sure why. I think it's just a natural tendency. I know I'm one of those people that if I know that I need to improve, whether that's public speaking or writing or whatever it is, I'll take the courses that I need to make sure that I'm really good at it.
You also mentioned number two is the proof is in the pudding. Explain that.
So this is what's really terrific is that there is a lot of research now being conducted that's showing that women-led companies are outperforming all-male companies. So a diverse company outperforms an all-male company. So research by Dow Jones Venture Source, the SBA, the Kauffman Foundation, and Kauffman Foundation does research and advocacy about entrepreneurship, and Illuminant Venture, which is a venture capital company, have all found that women-led companies are outperforming all male companies.
Can you give us some examples of what some of those companies are? Maybe when we picture the biggies like Windows or I should say Microsoft, and some of these other ones, we still picture men. What are some of the women-led, maybe top 500, Forbes 500 companies that we haven't thought about yet?
So the two big ones are Spanx, which is Sarah Blakely, and Tory Burch. Both of those companies are billion-dollar companies. There are other companies, Patriarch, which is run by, and I may not get her name right, I think it's Lynn Tilton, which is a multi-billion-dollar company as well. And she specializes in turning around manufacturing companies.
Okay. Well, a few to look at. And then what can we learn from those entrepreneurs?
Oh, gosh. There's so much to learn. So I think women really need role models, so you can't be what you can't see, which is a saying that Marie Nelson of the White House Project is known for saying. We need those role models to see, and you know, each woman has a different skill set, so you want to look at what she's doing and how she's doing it, and whether that particular approach to doing it suits your style.
We're talking with Jerry Stenger. She's president of Stengel Solutions and Ventureneer and author of a recent article in Forbes, 11 Reasons 2014 Will Be a Breakout Year for Women Entrepreneurs. We're taking your questions and comments as well at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@wpr.org, or you can find us on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We're talking about women in business, skills needed to start a business, skills needed to lead with inspiration and collaboration, and whatever you find to be suitable leadership skills that you would like to see in any CEO, you can let us know at 1-800-642-1234. I'm Cynthia Schuster, filling in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about women in business this hour and the environment needed to inspire women to become entrepreneurs. Our guest this hour says 2014 is going to be a breakout year for female entrepreneurs, and she's explaining why. Our guest is Jerry Stengel, the president of Ventureneer, and a mentor and teacher who's up to date on the latest and best practices in marketing, including technology and social media. We're taking your questions at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. And our email address is talk@wpr.org. Jerry, earlier you did outline some of the reasons why you think 2014 is going to be a breakout year, including the work environment, the ecosystem, as you call it. But I'm wondering, is there something on a personal level that's driving more women toward business and entrepreneurship?
So I think entrepreneurship provides more flexibility for women. So a lot of women are hitting the ceiling in corporations. They're ambitious. They want to get ahead. And the work that they're putting in at the corporations isn't being acknowledged with money and promotions. So that's something that you can control in your own company. So women are striking out to both, I'm not going to say balance, because to a certain degree when you are working for yourself, you may be working harder, but you feel more satisfied doing it.
Mm-hmm. Right. I was thinking about that when you mentioned that entrepreneurship sounds like a big undertaking and often can seem maybe a little bit intimidating. So what's your advice to someone who wants to get started but might be a little bit afraid to?
So there are a lot of resources out there. I'm a Kaufman Fast Track facilitator. And as I said, Kaufman is a research and advocacy foundation, but they also have developed an educational training program. And it is here in New York City. It is provided for free by Small Business Services, but it's provided throughout the United States, and you certainly can go to their website, which is FastTrack with a C, not a K, .org. There are women's business development centers across the country, and those are provided by the SBA. The SBA also has SCORE, which provides training and mentorship at low or no cost. A lot of corporations are helping small businesses as well. Tory Burch Foundation has partnered with Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses and has a program. I think it's only in New York, but they are targeting, again, women. In this particular case, it's early stage women businesses. Goldman Sachs has 10,000 small businesses, which is, I think, in 17 cities across the country. I don't think it's in Wisconsin, but it's in Detroit and Chicago, and it's a very rigorous training program. American Express has a boot camp, a CEO boot camp for women entrepreneurs. They did it in New York for the first time last year, and they're going to be rolling that out throughout the year. Ernst & Young has entrepreneurial winning women, and they take a cohort about 10 to 15 women who have $2 million companies. And they really help them blow out their businesses. And they have an amazing track record. The women that come through the program start increasing their businesses at a rate of 50% per year. Dell has the Dell Women's Entrepreneurial Network, which is geared towards high-growth women entrepreneurs. And as I mentioned, they've done some global research. It's the first research focused on gender, and it's comparing 17 countries, and they're going to be rolling that out to more countries this year and taking a look and comparing what the barriers are in 30 countries. Many cities have their own ecosystem, so I would encourage everybody to do a little Google search in your own city. So you know, I'm more familiar with New York City, but we have a very vibrant entrepreneurial community, whether it's aimed at sort of Main Street community, Main Street businesses, or high growth or technology businesses.
We're talking with Jerry Stengel, president of Stengel Solutions and Ventureneer, and the author of a recent article in Forbes, 11 Reasons 2014 Will Be a Breakout Year for Women Entrepreneurs. And we're looking for your suggestions, too. Do you have advice for starting a business? Have you started your own? And what advice do you wish you had when you started out then that you know now that you wish you had back then? You can let us know at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. Jerry, you mentioned earlier the perception that there's a ceiling, I guess, or some women climb so far up a ladder and then they decide, you know what, I want to try my own thing and maybe I'll be more successful if I do that. Is there still a glass ceiling? And what, if so, what is contributing to that? Why is it still existing?
So there are internal reasons and there are external reasons. So to some degree, women feel that they can achieve, and we have to build up the confidence that we can achieve. So one of the reasons that I wrote that article was to inspire women to go for the brass ring. We really do have the leadership skills to be at the top of the heap. And some of it is external. So there is discrimination going on, may not be deliberate. So in venture capital, there's a lot of discussion about whether it is deliberate or not deliberate. But there, women-led businesses are certainly not getting their fair share from venture capital.
Well, going back to your 11 reasons why 2014 will be a breakout year for entrepreneurs, you mentioned that number three is diversity improves performance and increases innovation. How are women playing a role in that area?
So with entrepreneurship, there's a theory that you scratch your own itch. And if women control 80% of consumer spending and we're not developing those products, they may not be geared to the degree that they should be towards our specific needs. So I'm not saying that you should go out and only buy products from women, but I do believe that women have an edge in developing products that are aimed at women because we understand their needs best. So if you think about Sarah Blakely, who created Spanx, she had a need to have, a smooth look in her pants, when she was wearing tight-fitting pants. And that's why she created, undergarments that she, the Spanx undergarments.
Mm-hmm. What role do incubators play in getting a business off the ground? Can you think of some good examples of businesses that started in an incubator?
Oh, off the top, I can't say the specific names, but incubators and accelerators play a very, very important role. So I'm going to talk more about an accelerator now. So Springboard is an accelerator. It's geared towards women-led companies. Zipcar was incubated was accelerated through Springboard. So I think they started around 2000 or 2001, and Zipcar, Robin Chase, was part of that first class. Constant Contact, the email service, was part of that first class of Springboard.
Hmm. How do women compare to men as money managers?
So women are actually great money managers. So even as investors, we spend more time making our decision. We do more research. We're a little bit more risk averse. We hold on to our investments longer. We seek out more information that challenges our assumptions. And I'll also swing back to the couple of research pieces that I mentioned before by Kaufman and by Illuminant. And as managers of businesses, we manage our money better. So we're more efficient with capital than men are.
Does that speak to your fourth reason here for why 2014 will be a breakout year, untapped spending power?
Yes. So, again, I think, we're touching a couple of different areas here that, again, as I said, that women shouldn't necessarily rush out and buy products because they are made by women, but women, because we understand ourselves, have an edge in developing those products. So, again, control 80% of consumer spending, and we influence a whole lot of other categories as well, including automotive and a lot electronics. So we understand how purchases are made and what the hot buttons are, and I think we're very thoughtful in the way that we create products and design them.
We have just about a minute before news, and if we have to pick up the topic afterward, that's fine. But I wanted to ask you how to, if someone has what they think is a solid business idea, but they're not sure, how can they cast a few lines out there just to test and see if it's A, something no one else has done before, and B, a viable business plan?
So you need to do research to find out if the idea has been created already. And thank goodness for the internet. A lot of the research you can do online, but public libraries are a great resource for doing research. And librarians are more than eager to help you with that research and can point you to specific resources as well. But again, there's a lot that you can do online in terms of searching trade associations and press releases, annual reports of businesses to find out whether the idea exists. And I also talk a lot about building a minimum viable product. So in today's day and age, rather than build out that really perfect product, build a minimum viable product. It doesn't like a beta product.
Okay. Well, we will pick up after that, after the news. We're talking with Jerry Stengel. She's president of Stengel Solutions and Ventureneer, the author of a recent article in Forbes, 11 Reasons Why 2014 Will Be a Breakout Year for Women Entrepreneurs. I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Will 2014 be a breakout year for women in business? My guest this hour thinks so, and she's been sharing her reasons why this hour. You can join the conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@wpr.org. What skills do you look for in a business leader? Or a boss, even? Are you trying to get a business idea off the ground but not sure how to do it? Well, we'll offer some advice. We're talking with Jerry Stengel, president of Stengel Solutions and Ventureneer, and the author of a recent article in Forbes, 11 Reasons Why 2014 Will Be a Breakout Year for Women Entrepreneurs. Jerry, before the news, we were talking about how to test whether a business idea is viable, and we had to stop you for the news. I'll let you pick up where you left off.
Terrific. So I was talking a little bit about creating a minimum viable product. And that's a product that has just enough features to allow a valid test of the product by early adopters. And early adopters tend to be more forgiving, more likely to give feedback, and able to grasp sort of the product vision from the early version of a product. So I can think of two companies that are doing that as we speak. One is Beauty Bookings, and Beauty Booked, rather. They noticed, when I was saying sort of scratching your own itch, they realized based on their own experience that they could not, during work, book their beauty appointments because they didn't want other people to be knowing what they were doing during business hours, and there was no way to do that online. So you can book your doctor appointments online, you can book your travel appointments online, your travel online, but you can't book your, when you want to get your nails done or your hair cut. So they've created a service that does that. They launched it in New York, and now they're rolling it out to Los Angeles and Dallas. Another company is Huckster. Two women who used to work for J. Crew no longer were getting employee discounts, and they missed those discounts. And they created a service that you can actually huck the products and mostly fashion items that you like and find out when they go out on sale. And again, both companies started with minimum viable products to see whether it worked, and then they were able to raise money for their services.
Hmm. Well, let's get back to your 11 reasons why 2014 will be a breakout year for women. You say women use the power of their portfolios. Explain that.
Well, this is one of my favorite things because women now have the money and influence expertise to help each other. So let me take a step back and sort of talk about the fact that, you know what, now we are corporate leaders, we do have expertise, and we need to share that expertise. So the first way that you can help a woman-led business is by providing expertise. If you believe in that company, you may want to open doors for them and connect them to potential customers or a media opportunity. And then if you really, really believe in them, you may want to invest in them. So there are two different ways. One, if you're wealthy enough, you can be an angel investor. So angel investors are people who, if you're single, you earn $200,000 a year, and if you're a couple, you're earning $300,000, or you have $1 million in assets, excluding your home, and you invest in a company. So there are organizations like Pipeline Fellows, Fellowship, which actually train you to become angels. So you don't have to go out there and do it alone. You can do it in a group. There are training organizations like, as I said, Pipeline and 37 Angels that train you to become angels. And then there are networks like Golden Seeds that you can be part of and invest as a group, because women do like to collaborate and invest as a group. And then many women go off and invest by themselves. So, you know, you may be very comfortable doing it, and you can invest by yourself. And if you're not wealthy enough to be an angel investor, crowdfunding is coming. So right now you can purchase a product. You can pre-buy a product through crowdfunding. So somebody can offer a product before it's manufactured, and you can buy it before it's manufactured. And the money that you pay up front allows them to manufacture the product. With the approval of the Jobs Act, and they finally put the guidelines in place, we're now also going to be able to do equity investing. So that's really on the way, and it has a lot of power to help women and minorities who are, you know, underfunded. So it's a way to go directly to your vendors, your customers, your friends and family, and raise money. Mm.
You also say men are bullish on women. Explain that. What does that mean?
So, you know, I'm of that generation where in the 60s and the 70s, we didn't always have all the male support that we needed. I think men really get that, to have a vibrant society, you need women as well. And it's important men that understand this, like, you know, Warren Buffett, who last year wrote an article for Fortune, an essay, on why he was bullish on women. But it's many, many men. So I frequently cite Adam Quinton, who is an angel investor who invests in women. Vivek Wadhwa is a fabulous supporter of women. He's a vocal critic of the underfunding of Silicon Valley of women.
Number 7 was, women are building a vibrant and layered ecosystem, which I think you were getting at earlier. Would you say that some of the optimism you have about 2014 is as a result of some of the, environmental changes that have happened at the hands of standing women entrepreneurs or prior female leaders?
So, yeah, so we have a critical mass. So there's lots of women out there that you can look to as your role models. So one of the reasons that I started writing the column is that I wanted to give successful women visibility, women-led companies visibility, but I also wanted them to be the role models for the next generation of women. And there are just an enormous array of organizations supporting women through the full spectrum of types of businesses that women might be creating. So you might be a Main Street organization and associations like National Association of Women Business Owners might be the best organization for you to be networking and getting support from. If you're more in the technology space, you might want to network through Women 2.0. There are peer advisory groups like the Women's Presidents Organization. So these groups take a cohort of women, I'm going to say somewhere between 10 and 20 women get together on a monthly basis with a facilitator, and they work, they problem solve together on what's going on in their companies. You have organizations, and I've mentioned Springboard and Astia, which are training women to raise angel and venture capital. And they're also connecting them to people who have the money, who, you know, the venture capitalists and the angels who have the money. You have so many corporations that are supporting women. So, you know, I mentioned Dell, Ernst & Young, American Express, Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo, which I haven't mentioned before, has an initiative to, I forget how many billions of dollars, but they have a real goal to lend to a certain amount of money to women-owned businesses.
We're talking with Jerry Stengel. She is president of Stengel Solutions and VentureNear. VentureNear is a market research company that provides education and training for small businesses and corporations and helps businesses build brand loyalty and visibility. She's with us for the remainder of the hour talking about 11 reasons why 2014 will be a breakout year for women entrepreneurs. And we hope to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking about women in business this hour and why 2014 might be a breakout year for them as entrepreneurs. You can give us your insights, your advice if you're a business owner, or ask questions as well at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Jerry Stengel is our guest. She's president of Stengel Solutions and VentureNear, author of the recent article in Forbes called 11 Reasons Why 2014 Will Be a Breakout Year for Women Entrepreneurs. Jerry, how can women, business leaders in general, build credibility for their company? How important is it to get out there and make the company known?
So it's a critical way of laying the foundation for your business. So, you know, when you're pitching your company to another company and they've never heard of you, and they do a Google search and all of a sudden they see that you're mentioned either in your local paper or in Forbes and Fortune and the Wall Street Journal, it gives you real credibility. It's also a way of spreading the word about what your company does. So, you know, for Main Street companies, it can really drive traffic to your company, you know, when you first open the doors. So women tend to avoid being in the spotlight. They don't like taking center stage. And it's really critical that we sort of step up to the plate and we seek out and accept those media opportunities. So one of the things that I've been reading about is that for TED Talks, women are more likely to turn down when being approached to do a talk on TED, and they're also more likely to cancel at the last minute. And the canceling of the last minute could be because of childcare responsibilities. But it's really important to accept the opportunities to be in the media, because again, it's good for you, but it's also good for other women to see role models. So it's sort of a two-pronged thing. I said, it's just one of those great ways of building, you know, credibility for your organization.
Is that propensity to stay sort of behind the scenes and not do TED Talks, for example, is that a confidence issue or is that shyness?
It's probably a combination of both. So, you know, women don't believe that they have sort of the right stuff to be up in front of an audience. So we don't acknowledge the fact that we have that we have something that other people would want to know, that we have the knowledge that other people, you know, are seeking out.
1-800-642-1234 is our phone number. 1-800-642-1234. Let's take a call from Sarah in Richland Center. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Yeah, thank you for taking my question. I called in at an interesting time talking about TED Talks. I'm going to start a consultancy in refugee protection and education. I wonder if she has any particular advice for women starting consultancies.
So for women starting consultancies, thought leadership is really, really a great way of building out your visibility and credibility. I wrote an article, I guess a couple of months ago. Denise Bruchot just came out with a book on thought leadership, and many consultants will take a very specific area that nobody is talking about and, again, just build expertise and thought leadership around that topic. I'm trying to think of a couple of people that have done it. So, for example, I do it on the success factors of women entrepreneurs. Nilofer Merchant does it. I'm just trying to think of a couple of other people who are a couple of other women that are doing it. Another woman is talking very specifically about the fact that only 3% of all creatives within ad agencies are women, and we talked about the fact that women are responsible for 80% of all of the consumer spending. And all of the people that are writing marketing messages are men. So I'm not saying that men shouldn't be writing the marketing messages, but we do need a diversified voice in there. So women need to be part of that, a part of the group that, part of the people that are writing for us. So she does conferences and a lot of writing on that topic. So I do think that for consultancies, if you can find that niche for yourself where you can stand out, that would be a really good thing for you.
Now, to someone like Sarah, who may not have a business background, do you need a business background? Do you need some sort of, degree to inform your decisions as an entrepreneur?
So I don't have a business degree, and I was talking to another woman just this week who doesn't have a business degree. One of the things that I think is great about women is that they do a lot of self-development. So I've taken lots of courses, and again, the woman that I was speaking to, Elspeth Miranda, who has a translation company, what we do is we go out there and we read, whether it's magazines, publications, we go to industry organizations, we'll network, and we'll learn the things that you need to learn. And men do that too, but I think it's a particular a skill set of women.
Sarah, do you have any follow-ups?
I guess, yeah, I'm glad that you followed up with that question. I don't have a business degree. I have a particular bachelor's and master's degree in refugee studies. I never even studied business in any of my degrees. But thank you for the advice, and I'll be looking on WPR.org for more information.
Thanks, Sarah. Thanks for that question. So you got to point number 10 there, Jerry, which is women never stop learning. And I also want to be sure that we wrap up the hour with reason number 11 why 2014 might be a breakout year for women in business. Some women use failure as a launching pad to success. Talk about that a little bit.
So women don't talk about their failures. We're perfectionists. I think it's really important to know that you learn more from your failures, and I would really encourage people to begin to talk about failure. So one of the people that I mentioned in the article is Sally Krawcheck, who was ousted publicly from two very, very large positions in the financial services industry. And she doesn't shy away from talking about it. She, you know, talks about, you know, sure, it's painful. You know, she had a glass of wine, but as she puts it, she's a weeble who doesn't fall down. She gets back up. You know, she dusts herself off, and she gets right back up out there. And she purchased a networking organization, 85 Broads. And and networking is one of those really critical things for women. And I think she realizes that, you know, having the support of women is really a terrific thing when you're trying to build and rebuild.
For anybody who is listening to our program today and thinking about taking that step, probably maybe off the beaten path that they've been walking on throughout their life so far, what's your advice for taking the leap?
So one of the points that we haven't gotten to is networking. Mm-hmm. And if you do want to take that leap, I think networking is a critical skill set and a way for your testing out the idea. So I want to make this point is that the bigger and wider your network, the bigger your business. Women tend to network narrow and deep. Men tend to network wide and shallow. It's the wide and shallow that uncovers the opportunities and knowledge that you need when starting a business or, you know, trying to get ahead even if you're in a corporate world. The more people that you know outside of your regular circle, so your normal circle of people know the same things you know. They're going to connect you to the same types of people. If you want to know new things and you want new opportunities, it's going to be coming from your third-degree connections, people that you don't know very well.
Well, Jerry, thank you so much for joining us today to share your ideas and tips for starting a business.
Thank you.
Jerry Stengel is the president of Stengel Solutions and VentureNear. VentureNear, a marketing research company that provides education and training for small businesses and corporations. She wrote an article recently for Forbes called 11 Reasons 2014 Will Be a Breakout Year for Women Entrepreneurs. Thanks to Robin Cherry for producing and directing this hour, Marika Suval for on-air production. I'm Cynthia Schuster filling in for Joy Cardine. Coming up next hour, we'll look back at last night's State of the State address by Governor Walker. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.